So I have a Star Wars story for you, believe it or not.
This sounds exciting.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's a Star Wars story. Actually, I lied. It's a baseball story. Haha. So, Meredith,
yes.
Myself, and Wes and Becky went to a Rainiers game.
We did.
This week. And I didn't know until we got there, but it was Star Wars Day. And they had Star Wars related things and Star Wars jerseys. And the in my abortive attempts to use Twitter, I was taking pictures at the game and stuff like that. And it was featuring the Tacoma Jedi Temple, which is a thing, apparently.
It's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
Yeah, it's really cool. I did want to scream roll initiative at them, but somebody thought that was me making fun of them. No, it's actually in solidarity. That was a really good role playing game.
What?
Yeah, never mind. but they had this little story going on with videos and cutscenes on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, and all the Jedis would come down on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things would happen, and then there was video of a Death Star over Seattle, and then a cargo plane flew out from behind it, and that was fairly realistic. Thanks, Air Force. and then they had the story, and then right around the fifth inning, the story really gets underway, where the leader of the Tacoma Jedi Temple gets taken over by the Sith.
Boo.
Converts to the dark side. We're supposed to boo.
Boos.
And then it starts raining. And the game gets rained out. And it gets called. Rainiers won 8-2 against the Round Rock Express.
Yeah, a couple good home runs.
Yeah, yeah. Some really nice. But
what happens in the story?
Apparently, it's the Tacoma Sith Temple now, because nothing ever came of it. I never heard. And in my mind, that's the way the story ended. The bad guys won. Tacoma is a dark side town. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Hello, Meredith.
Hello, Sam.
And hello, Tyson. How are you?
Konnichiwa. I'm good.
Fantastic. But baseball is, here in Tacoma and all that fun stuff. But let's stay local here just a little bit. The contractor hired to remodel the Tacoma home where serial killer Ted Bundy once resided as a child has secured the help of two pastors to bless the home and guard it against possible haunting. The pastors reportedly read Bible verses and said blessings in each room and encouraged the work crew to inscribe scripture on the walls and listen to Christian music while on the job. Among the contractor's complaints were that the words "help me" and "leave" had appeared written on a window in a bedroom floor, that a wall-mounted dresser toppled over, and that his own daughter expressed unease about being in the house, and that one time they arrived on site to find the house locked up, but every cabinet drawer open.
Weird stuff sometimes.
Super spoopy.
Spoopy?
Spoopy and
spoopy.
Crappy.
Oh. Oh my.
I don't know that one.
That's internet meme speak.
Oh, okay. So, right. As someone who's having a housework done right now, do I ask my potential contractor who we, I've got one picked out.
Right.
But do I get, are you the guy who got freaked out by a house?
That might be an important thing to ask him.
It might be. This is the strangest story I think I've seen in a long time.
Right.
That contractor, because if you read the story too, when the guy who bought the house originally to flip it had no idea this was Ted Bundy's house or his childhood home, I should say.
Right.
And he was just wanting to flip the house, and the contractor didn't know either until they started asking in the neighborhood, hey, has anybody had any break-ins around here? And then somebody told him that was Ted Bundy's childhood home. So before that, nothing weird was going on. This isn't a superstitious thing going on. It's just maybe somebody's breaking in. There's a rational reason. Oh, wait a minute. There was a serial killer who used to live here. Therefore, God.
Yeah, that has to be what it is.
So Tacoma is a pretty hot real estate market right now. And so there is a lot of house flipping going on.
Yeah.
Which is why things have been so easy for me. But, so I guess there's two ways this can go about it. He asked around, a lot of break-ins here, what's the neighborhood like?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's Ted Bundy's house. And either nothing happened and it's all in this guy's head, or he was like, And then
every little thing.
Yeah, and all the neighborhood people are like, whoa, he's taking this seriously. We gotta screw with this guy. Come on, let's write stuff on his house. Come on, please. Let's go.
Help me.
Yeah, it's like, I hate house flippers. Leave.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, true Tacomans are not very happy about what's happening in our market right now.
Yeah, no, it makes it like impossible for anyone who lives in Tacoma to live in Tacoma.
I guess I gotta ask. I don't count as a true Tacoman. I only moved here about 10 years ago. So, well, am I part of the problem?
No, you're before it really hit hard.
Okay.
I think you're good.
All right. I'll
give you a pass.
All right. So,
okay.
I pass.
You can stay.
Good. Yeah. Awesome. But I'm part of the problem. I it's weird. It's like this was the cheap neighborhood, and I'm honestly, if I had to start over here, I don't know that I could.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
getting pretty pricey.
It's getting pricey in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess first and foremost, there has never been any proof whatsoever ever that ghosts are a thing. And that hauntings are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
Except for Casper.
But he was a friendly ghost, so it's okay.
Okay.
Right.
So you can only be a ghost if you're nice.
Correct.
Yes.
In my understanding.
You know, I'm going to challenge that. I don't want to get all James Randi on you, but I think there might be something going on there. But all these ghost haunting shows, I mean, one of the early days of Ask an Atheist, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is a thing.
Right.
all attempts to scientifically prove that any of this has gone on have gone nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no there. Let's straight up.
Right.
Except maybe people screwing with the guy.
I could see that.
I would really like it to be people screwing with the guy.
Yeah. So if I'm going to be like house and write this on a whiteboard, one is they're just screwing with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Two is he's just making stuff up because he's scared and wants to have a reason to play Christian music at work. Mm. I mean, it could be that. three, the marketing angle.
Yeah. The house had already sold by the time that this story hit the press.
And the owners of the house didn't know.
They're not aware.
The new owners weren't aware that any of this had happened, the people who bought it. You know, probably until now.
Yeah.
Okay, because that was the thing that I was thinking. I was like,
it can't be a marketing ploy because they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't even try to market it.
Yeah.
Okay.
These people were like legitimately afraid of this.
Yeah. They were, this is a true fear. These people believe this was really happening.
Okay. But so the chronology of events is the supposed chronology of events is weird things happen at house.
Mm-hmm.
Guy has that lady from Poltergeist come in and go, everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
They play really terrible music and write insipid statements on walls, paint over them, sell the house to people that they don't tell.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The contractor in reading this story, the contractor more than anybody was the one that was freaked out.
Yeah.
And when the original person who bought it to flip it, when he found out this was Ted Bundy's house, he said he was very excited. Not from an angle, it seemed, so he could market it, but he just said he was really into like true crime. And
yeah.
Like he's like, oh, this is exciting. Like this was somebody's house.
Right. And that's
like, and he didn't even care.
Right. And that's the thing is like Becky, somebody actually asked Becky when we were talking about this at a bar, and they go, well, would you live in Ted Bundy's house? And she's like, yeah, whatever. I wouldn't care.
A discount.
Yeah. Whatever. Don't care. Yeah. Maybe I get a discount. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we don't care. But then there's a group of people. And that's why I thought this was a marketing thing. You need any edge in a hot real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, live in a house where a murder happened.
Ooh. But the murder didn't
But
even
no
happen
murders
in
ever
the house.
Happened.
Yeah, right.
That's the thing. It doesn't even make sense that he would haunt that house. I mean, sorry, just
something
pretend
would,
that ghosts exist.
Right.
Why would he go back there? He didn't create any, like, he didn't kill anyone there. He didn't start murdering people until, like, 15 years after he lived in the house.
Right. And that's, but then, so we go back to it. The contractor worked in the house, was totally freaked out by it, didn't tell the people who bought the house.
Right.
and just went to the press
and just like made the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Supposing that ghosts exist,
maybe the contractor
wants.
I think I would live here. I can turn a good profit on this one.
what a jerk! Yeah, there's a ghost
love it.
Here.
Yeah, beautiful, great neighborhood.
Yeah. it's really difficult because I have two minds. This well, one, it's not haunted because hauntings aren't a thing, but. You knew something about a house and you didn't tell it to the person that you sold it to?
Right, yeah.
What a jerk. Yeah, questions I never thought I'd ask have to ask a contractor. So how do you feel about ghosts?
Is this house haunted?
Is, yeah.
Have you written any Bible verses on the walls? That's a no-no.
And notice they didn't call the Satanic Temple. They would have taken care of that.
Yeah,
totally taken care of that for you.
Yeah.
Well, going from one place I've been to another place I've been, a Chicago area architect plans on creating an art installation where flying golden pigs will obscure the logo of the city's downtown Trump Tower. Jeffrey Roberts' inspiration comes from George Orwell's Animal Farm, Miss Piggy, Trump's penchant for golden embellishment, and Pink Floyd's Battersea Pig. The four balloons will take flight from a barge in the Chicago River. Roberts conceived the project as a visual response to the loud, illogical, and frequently hateful expressions that polluted the presidential elections and now define the actions of U.S. leadership. He states that the pigs will provide visual relief to the citizens of Chicago. Former Pink Floyd member Roger Waters reportedly endorsed the project, personally signing off on the pig design. The design firm is raising money for the installation, with any overflow funds going to a variety of civil rights, health, and LGBTQ charities.
I love this.
Me
I absolutely
too.
Love this.
I mean, I imagine you may have seen a picture of the Trump Tower in Chicago at this point, but it's got the big gold lettering,
right.
Trump, and I don't think he owns the building anymore.
He doesn't own most of his buildings.
Yeah, he just licenses his name.
Right. So during the election, somebody put a big, you know, they like lit up the windows. No Trump.
Yeah.
Trump, not popular in the Chicago area.
I would imagine.
Lots of places.
Not popular in lots of places, but particularly in Chicago from the election results.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see why this might be a good idea.
It's a shame that this art installation is only for 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's a one-day event.
It's only for a day.
It's a one-day event.
Apparently, it's very expensive to fly pig balloons and manufacture them.
Well, have you seen the pictures? They're golden pig balloons.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, they're very Trumpy.
30-foot golden
They're as
pigs.
Trump as you could come.
Yeah, so gold, it's like golden embellishment. I think, is the golden actually necessary in this game, or just embellishment? So when we went back to Chicago over the holidays, I took Becky downtown finally, because we'd been to Chicago 5 times and I'd never taken her downtown.
Really?
And why? Mm-hmm. I tried once and then failed. And I'm like, I'm never moving back here. Right. Man, we left at noon. I figured we'd get there like 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah, 2 or 3 a.m.
Oh, traffic.
Yeah.
Yay.
You get out. You get out of the station, we started walking towards the Bean in Millennium Park, and there's the big Trump building, and Becky's like, do you want to take your picture with it? I'm like, no. Yeah, I love this idea. It's a shame it's only for a day.
But they're going to take it pigs on parade. They're going to go across the country and bring it to other Trump towers too, is what they're saying.
Oh.
So if they can get the funding after this event, then they will bring it to other cities. So,
okay.
Coming to a town near you.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and they have a whole website set up about it where you can donate too.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, asparagus.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And are you ready for some asparagus?
Yeah.
Delicious.
I love this one. England's Worcester Cathedral celebrated the start of British Asparagus Festival last month with a special service that involved a formal processional of clergy presenting the vegetable for blessing, along with a man dressed as an asparagus spear. Gus the Asparagus Man has his own Facebook page and children's book. A group called Christian Concern complained that Gus's involvement made a mockery of Christian worship, and other bishops have expressed criticism as well. Gus's next appearance is slated for an asparagus-themed color fun run at the end of the month in Evesham.
So hold on one second.
Yeah.
This makes fun and a mockery of the Catholic Church.
Well,
not the Pope Mobile and the many hats and the golden robes.
Silly hats.
The guy dresses as an asparagus.
Yeah, I think it's Anglican.
Okay.
So it's yeah, I so not necessarily wizard hats, but
definitely.
But they still have very
still have
ornate
fancy
robes.
And,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I get it. The Gus the Asparagus Man is totally just throwing off your wizard cloak.
Yep,
I get it.
It doesn't fit the theme.
It doesn't match the drapes, is what it is. The green throws the
well,
room
actually, if you look at the pictures, well, it looks like he's a member of some sort of group because he's got a symbol on. You know, it's Gus the Asparagus Man,
right,
backed by purple robed choir. And that kind of works. Yeah, green and purple.
Green and
that
purple
can kind of
yeah
work.
Yeah.
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 But I'm looking at these pictures, and I think the asparagus thing is the least ridiculous thing in the photo.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your leading gentleman in the fancy white and gold robe,
mm-hmm, yeah,
walking them down the aisle, and the guy in the suit carrying the ornamental asparagus to be blessed. Got some dude dressed up as St. George, totally normal.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm normal stuff. And yeah, it looks like, and actually, the asparagus guy, the guy actually presenting the asparagus to be blessed, it looks like he's playing it like a pan flute, like he's Zamfir of the asparagus. So I wonder, is it just this? So what, this asparagus is being presented to be blessed, right? So here, right. Thank you, O Lord, for our pea stinky vegetable.
It's the plentiful beginning of their like asparagus season and asparagus festival. It's this thing that happens. They have a whole festival dedicated to asparagus.
Right.
But so they present it to be blessed for a bountiful harvest.
Is this like blessing? Oh, okay. So it's not like...
Well, it kind of, it goes in tandem with the celebration of St. George's Day, which is, it used to be a big feasting day, similar to Christmas way back in the Middle Ages, but it's recently come into a resurgence the past few years of being just, you know, celebrating St. George, have a little good food, there's a parade, bless the asparagus.
So what happens to this asparagus once it has been accepted by God as a thing, as holy asparagus? Does it become like a relic? Do you bury it under a church and then a big asparagus spear happen? You climb it up and you defeat a giant Jesus?
I see the makings of a video game here.
It is none of those things. It is available at your local Whole Foods.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's so expensive.
Okay. That explains why Whole Foods
is this how organic farming works?
This is how organic farming works. I mean, from my understanding.
It's not actually organic farming. It's just blessed. Okay.
I can see that.
I mean, they do charge like $6 for a bottle of asparagus water at Whole Foods.
That's what holy water is what it is.
It's water with two stalks of asparagus in it for nutrients or whatever.
It's not water extracted from asparagus. It's somebody like some tap
it's
water,
a mason jar,
and then you jam an asparagus in
correct.
It.
Yeah, it's a bottle of water with raw asparagus in it,
and then you drink it,
and that's it. That's the whole $4.99 a bottle. You're welcome to the world.
Why? I mean, oh man, I used to go to Whole Foods. I mean, I like nice food.
Sure, yeah.
And they occasionally have nice food, but I never went into the what aisle has the asparagus water in it? Is it
probably next to like the kombucha?
That would make sense.
What is kombucha? I've been afraid to ask. What the heck is it?
Tea.
Fermented tea. Yeah.
Oh, is it
mildly fermented tea?
Is it boozy or is it just tea?
It has very small trace amounts of alcohol in it, but you cannot get drunk off kombucha. Sorry.
No. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't want to. I didn't like it.
It's slightly like vinegary, acidic tasting.
Okay.
I don't like tea, so I'm the wrong person to ask. But I do know it's a tea.
Man, it's a good thing Becky can't hear you.
People hail its healing benefits because live cultures.
Right.
Uh huh.
Okay, I just
detox.
Maybe I just always missed that section of the supermarket when I went, but I don't.
It's only really gained popularity over maybe like the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay,
it's been around longer than that, but
right,
most people.
It was recently rediscovered and appropriated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about asparagus water? How new is that?
I think they stopped selling it once that hit the internet.
Once
somebody shared a Facebook post of a $5 bottle of water with a stick of asparagus in it, like that was the end of it.
I would like to sit in on that meeting. So what's next for asparagus?
Well, let's see. For asparagus itself or asparagus?
Gus.
Asparagus?
Mm-hmm.
Asparagus. Gus the Asparagus.
His Christian
man.
Name, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess, like, you know.
Literally.
Yeah.
So he's got his color run coming up.
Uh-huh.
He has a pretty good Facebook profile showing all of his, you know, wanderings being an asparagus man. There's an asparagus festival, though.
Yes.
Coming up at the beginning of June. With some very special appearances. I mean, Gus the Asparagus Man will be there.
Okay.
They're also going to have the Asparalympics. Not sure what that is.
Well, I imagine I know how the javelin throw would work out. But
that's probably about it. High jump might be a little hard.
Yeah, high jump would be fairly difficult. The relay race might be that could work, you know.
There's also an asparagus eating competition.
Mm.
Which
that.
I'm sure will be great going to the bathroom. After that.
Do not use the porta potties after the eating contest. Stay away.
There's also another special guest that'll be at the Aspara Fest. She calls herself an Asparamancer. The world's only Asperomancer.
Asperomancer.
What do you think an Asperomancer is, Sam?
I'm back to javelins. Do they like, is it like magic missile, but with asparagus?
Oh, you got the first part right. Magic.
Magic.
Okay, it is magic with asparagus.
Yes.
So she claims to be able to predict the future by reading asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you read asparagus?
So she does readings. She will perform readings herself. Her big thing is she does New Year's predictions.
Okay.
Like, you know, a lot of other famous psychics we know. But she'll throw them up in the air and then interpret how the stalks land. So she throws a bunch of uncooked asparagus in the air and it falls. Or if she's doing...
How wonderfully Roman.
Or if she's reading your future, she will ask you to throw the asparagus.
Oh.
And then...
Not at her, though.
Okay. Is there a registry involved to become an asperomancer?
She's the only one.
Okay.
She's the only known asperomancer in the world. Mm-hmm. She's tried this with other vegetables like broccoli. Broccoli mm-hmm. doesn't work, though.
No.
Okay.
The asparagus is the best.
Carrots got messy.
She's not the only one in the world. I am now an asperomancer.
Sam the asperomancer?
I am equally as good at it as she is.
Oh. I don't know. Have to ask you for a reading later.
Yep.
Yeah.
I need to see you two.
But I do it a little differently. Instead of you throwing the asparagus, I throw asparagus at you.
Oh.
And then I tell you what your future is.
By interpreting the welts that it makes or
yeah,
bruises?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I toss some asparagus at you. And
shouldn't you tell them their future before you throw the asparagus at them?
Mulvey predicts you're going to be washing asparagus stuff off you in about an hour. There you go. Congratulations.
That'll be $49.95.
That'll be $49.95.
The interesting thing is she doesn't charge for her readings.
No, that would
give them at festivals.
That would cheapen
the authenticity of the experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clearly, the gods of asparagus, Jehovah, apparently, would frown upon the supernatural aspects of asparagus being used for economic gain, which is the only time that's ever happened. In all of human history.
Just the once.
Just the once.
Just the once.
Yeah. Yeah, just ask Benny Hinn. Asperomancer.
Yes.
How do you even spell that? Because I want to...
You got to be careful where you say it, too.
Yeah. Because I'll be honest with you, I never do this, but So you're the reading of the auspices with chicken bones and stuff like that. That's a thing that's been. Oh wow, that's like sort of a hippie thing. Yeah, we used to do it with animal bones, but that's cruel and evil. So now we use asparagus.
Well, she said that she thought of the idea. She's always known she's been psychic, but she thought of the idea when she saw her mother reading tea leaves, and she said, "Oh, well, you could do it with tea leaves. I'm going to do it with vegetables."
Okay,
but not broccoli.
Oh, go look at her. Oh, she's wearing.
That's exactly what you would have expected her to look like,
yeah.
Right?
She's wearing.
I highly recommend everybody Google this.
Yeah, this is so going in the show notes. I take back everything I said. I love you, Asperomancer. Oh, yeah. I make very V accurate predictions using asparagus. Yes, really, UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, really.
Okay. We got to get her on the show. That wouldn't be terrible at all. That wouldn't make me hate myself. No. You know, because that would be, that might be the best James Randi $1 million challenge there has ever been. Yeah, we're going to test the efficacy of Asperomancy.
She claims to be 99% accurate in her predictions.
Oh.
Oh, does she make predictions on her Twitter account? I don't think so.
I don't know. I couldn't find her Twitter account immediately because I didn't look. I'm a bad person.
Would explain why you couldn't find it.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have never turned down any requests for interviews from any local radio stations until today.
Oh.
So apparently she has...
She has standards.
Well, you're not local either, so...
Right.
You don't necessarily fall into that category.
And she also seems to favor Arsenal.
Oh, I hate her.
Oh. Oh, my God. This is is the cutest thing ever. This is the cutest, most terrible thing ever.
I really want to go to this asparagus festival now.
Yeah. I actually do like asparagus.
I love asparagus.
Yeah, I think it's great that they're, you know, raising awareness for asparagus consumption.
The conversation I never thought I would have and ask an atheist. How do you like your asparagus?
I like to cook it in the oven.
Okay.
And just a little bit of olive oil and very little salt.
Okay.
I saute mine, just pan fried in butter with some salt and pepper. Sometimes garlic in the pan.
Sauteed with sesame oil, actually, is what, yeah, what we do. Do you like do you get the thick stalks or the
thin?
Thin.
I prefer thin.
I like it on the thicker side.
Really?
Of course you do.
Okay, we were doing so well.
Sorry.
Well, I knew that was going to end because I know what our next story is. But we were doing so well. Why? Because it's so fibrous and icky.
I don't know. I like that.
I don't know.
I like that.
Okay, yeah, because I like it.
What's, you know, do you like a French fry that's crispy or soggy?
Crispy.
Yeah, see, I like a soggy French fry.
Yeah, I'm leaving that alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Soggy, wilty. Yeah,
I don't know why.
Limp, if you will.
Limp, yeah. When I used to eat meat, I liked my bacon to be floppy.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I can get that.
No, chewy bacon. Floppy bacon.
Chewy bacon can be good bacon.
I don't know. I like the bigger ones, and yeah, that's the end of that.
You like a big, flaccid...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Leave that alone.
Yep. I'm just not saying anything else.
Magic with asparagus.
Asparamancy.
Yeah. Magic.
Oh, I love this story.
Yeah, I don't think she'd come on the show.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's a long shot.
It's one of those weird things that is somebody who tries to be a skeptic and a public skeptic, that you find somebody who does something like that and who's just so daffy. You don't really want to get in on it and say, what you do is crap. Because it is.
She looks so happy throwing that asparagus around.
With an asparagus hat. Yeah. But it is, it can lead to some pretty dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
But, God, I hate that. So maybe we should, something from a little less ambivalent or a little less ambiguous, perhaps. Professional crazy person and prolific social media poster, Tila Tequila, recently posted a video to her YouTube channel where she described the most recent contract she signed that includes a clause that makes her the supreme being. She claims to have signed the contract without reading the fine print out of laziness and seems unclear about whether she is bound to execute the functions of Jesus, Allah, Yeshua, or whatever. I'd like whatever. That's fine. Ms. Tequila claims the power to abolish taxes and debt, which further ingratiates her to some of her alt-right fans. She also claims to have the ability to control what happens in the world. Ms. Tequila concluded her rambling update by suggesting that she will make World War III happen and promises to fix all that ails the world, including transgender people like Caitlyn Jenner. Fix how? Yeah, that's ambiguous.
Fix in air quotes? I don't know.
Okay.
Tila Tequila is bizarre and baffling.
So mm-hmm. You are apparently our
I guess I'm the expert.
Tila Tequila correspondent.
because I had a MySpace in 2004.
Yeah. I've never, this is the most, we are now in the most I've ever had to really think about this person. Why is she famous?
She is famous for being the first famous social medialite.
She was so, in MySpace days when it was popular, she would post pictures that were provocative and, people would comment and want to be her friend on MySpace. And so she became popular via social media.
Oh, so yeah. She's famous because we didn't know how social media worked back then.
Yeah.
Okay. She kind of started this whole thing.
She was like the first person to have like 2 million followers on MySpace.
Tom was.
Well, I mean, aside from Tom.
Okay. Who's Tom?
Tom is the creator of MySpace. Okay. Kind of like you have Mark Zuckerberg for Facebook.
When you joined MySpace back in the day, you automatically were friends with Tom.
And he had that goofy side profile picture, and it's probably still his profile picture. But no, she was famous for being on social media. Yeah. It's like YouTube stars now. They're famous for being out there and putting themselves out there.
For creating content.
Yeah, so she used it to launch a music career. She was briefly involved in pornography.
Okay.
She got on MTV and had some reality shows. She came out as bisexual and she had a dating show which included both male and female contestants. And it was okay. so edgy in 2008.
And now she's hanging out with the alt-right crowd?
Now she's just gone off into bizarro land.
Okay.
She allegedly had an overdose in 2012 and had an aneurysm. And since that point, she has just any type of weird nonsense that you can think of. She's probably been talking about it. She believes the earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
She's been linked to the alt-right movement heavily, praising Hitler.
She last year on Hitler's birthday, she made a big stink on Twitter to wish Hitler a happy birthday.
But that's not even the first time.
That was not even the first time.
She's photoshopped herself into pictures with Hitler and wearing the SS band and has been photographed with white nationalist Richard Spencer.
Welcome to Teaching Sam to Hate the Universe. 844 Skeptic. 844-753-7842. So, okay. She accidentally signed a contract that apparently makes her God.
Right.
I guess.
Yes.
What was she? Was she buying a car?
I assumed she was just at Safeway, and you know, when you run your credit card over $25, they make you sign. So
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But I
probably that.
Okay, I watched about as much of this. I watched about 2 minutes of the video with the sound down.
Right.
Because that's
like a 25-minute long video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this contract is all about her. There's no accidental about this.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being played a little.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was she knew. It's not even a contract. She just like got a bunch of blank paper and had a couple pages about her godness.
Yes,
and signed it.
I think somebody's
on YouTube.
And this is now her universe, and she's going to run the universe the way she wants to. And
she created it all. We're all living in her creation.
That's okay. I don't believe in her.
Right.
She signed the contract that she gets to be. Well,
and she gets to decide if World War III is going to start, and she's going to start it.
She's gonna. So it's getting popular with alt-right too, especially the contract thing, because she's promising to like take away taxes and forgive everybody's debt, and she makes it so it's so just right now.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But don't
be careful. I see your eyes rolling all the way to the back of your head right now.
Yeah. My favorite quote of her from this article. She says, now that I know that I created all these things, because she didn't know before, but now she knows she created all this because she's God.
Okay.
I'm going to fix it, Tequila said. We're going to be alt-right. We're all going to be alt-right.
Yeah.
Does she realize that they don't really like her either?
I don't think so.
She hasn't figured that out yet.
Okay.
No. Yeah. In case you're not aware, Tila Tequila is an Asian American actress.
Uh-huh.
I think she was born in Singapore. Don't quote me on that. And moved here when she was about one.
Oh, okay.
But she was born overseas, immigrated.
Why do you? Oh, right, because you're on MySpace.
No, because I obsessively, and I was on MySpace, yeah. But I obsessively research everything. That's just one of my habits.
Okay. All right. That's,
I guess that's my shtick. Is that my thing?
It is kind of your thing. It's
right,
and it's really cool.
Thing.
Yeah, but it was a little bit disconcerting when, you know, we sat down in pre-show and you're like, well, we have to do the Tila Tequila story. And
well, also, I've been asked to do the Tila Tequila story by Becky a few times.
Oh, really?
You should do this. I've got it in the show notes.
Why?
Because it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
She's fascinating. Like, I can't... I don't know if she's a troll, if she really believes this. Did she get brain damage from her aneurysm? If so, that's very sad.
Well, she's famous for being popular.
Right.
Or is this all a marketing shtick?
I don't know.
I think she believes.
And
this.
I hadn't heard her. I hadn't really heard anything about her recently. You know, as somebody who doesn't really pay attention to these things, I'll be honest. But maybe she just found an audience in the alt-right community and is just sort of playing into them. And then, you know, it. Like I said, it's not like she was like buying a Prius.
Right.
And then there was like a hidden clause.
Yeah,
like several pages about blah 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 soul God whatever, and.
Yeah, I was able to find little information about what she thought she was signing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, this has gimmick written all over it. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I've just been trolled. And when we come back, more trolling, I think, actually. Yes.
Has N'Gat We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster N'Gat We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Again?
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And we had, I guess, fun? Last one.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
That was... Well, okay, yeah. Asperomancer. I will be laughing about that one for a while. I'm going to obsessively research about this now. It's going to be that. It's going to be 8 million Wikipedia pages open. There'll be a yarn map behind me.
I don't think there's that much information on asperomancy available.
No, I'm going to have to invent it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You should write the wiki article then.
Yeah, good point. But there is some more, I guess, important news going on. I don't know. Is there anything more important than asparagus? Yes. Probably. A measles outbreak is gripping the Somali immigrants in Minneapolis after a coordinated campaign by anti-vaccine activists and the discredited former physician Andrew Wakefield reduced vaccination rates in the tight-knit community from 92% to just 42% in 10 years. 92 to 94% vaccination rates are generally needed to maintain community immunity from measles, which can be deadly. Wakefield, whose view is that autism is linked to vaccinations, has been debunked and whose practices have been rejected by the medical communities as grossly unsafe and irresponsible, maintains that he does not feel responsible at all for the outbreak. A 2008 State Health Department survey found a high rate of Somali children in preschool autism intervention, but a follow-up study by the U of M found no greater likelihood of autism in Somali children versus white American children.
It's worth noting here that Wakefield's, you know, articles that he wrote back in 88 were removed from the journal that published them.
Yeah.
Because they were useless.
And his
he was also stripped to practice medicine.
Yeah.
His license was stripped.
He is officially no longer a doctor. He's not licensed anywhere to practice medicine.
Right.
All of his, you know, I mean, that's the key thing that I guess you need to know is exactly that. He's not really a medical professional in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Nope.
Because the question I was going to go in on was, it's the same thing as people who aren't oil industry execs or aren't, you know, people who stand to lose by, you know, climate change, but continue to fight the concept of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And I never quite understand why they choose that hill to die on. And this is the same thing with Wakefield. He's risked everything for something that seems kind of not true on its face, given the number of vaccinations that occur. And he, you know, and his movement and this again, this hill that he's chosen to die on has led to deaths,
mm-hmm.
Which he's supposed to be against being a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Has, and now there's a measles outbreak and he cares not a whit. And so that question is the question I'm always asked with, and the question that I'll never really get a satisfactory answer on is why this?
He's a narcissist.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I guess. That's just...
That's too easy of an answer,
that's
though.
Too easy.
Yeah.
That is... It's too easy. It's you know, it's like with the climate change guys, you can say, well, it's... They have a political outlook, and
right.
This is how the political outlook stuff goes. I can kind of see that, where you have a political outlook that just denies the concept of science, or thinks that... Or you think that the whole world... you know, the entire scientific establishment has some sort of political bias that you disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that.
There's no profitable gain.
But there's no profitable gain.
Yeah. Until you write
there's
a book
not.
Or something.
Yeah. And I just, this specific thing, he's making kids sick. And he cares not a whit.
Right.
And because he's, for things that are demonstrably untrue. And
right.
I'll never understand why... you know, he's lost so much and
he still believes it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I guess that's part of the reason why this is what we're seeing in the case of Andrew Wakefield and company at this point. Is this count as faith? Is this a faith thing?
I don't know. I think it has to be a little
part
bit.
Part of it,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he has faith that his research was accurate and vaccines actually mm-hmm. cause autism based on
I think that a lot of these people in these communities, and I don't mean the actual parents that are targeted,
mm-hmm.
the people who actually promote this like him, I think they have true conviction and belief that they are doing something that is noble and right.
Right.
Like they're trying to help save these kids.
Yeah.
When in reality, and that's why he doesn't care, because if you die from one kid dies from measles, that's fine. At least I was able to save another 100 from getting autism.
Right.
You know,
because autism is that bad.
Right.
As I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, there's, you know, autism, it's called a spectrum, or it's been called a spectrum. There are different presentations of autism, some which are not so bad, which you can live quite a normal life, and
mm-hmm.
but then you've got other types of autism which can be really debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why when it looked like that may have been a concern when the study was published, I understand why it brought the attention that it did. That's understandable. But then further studies, you know, have been done. Lots of studies have
right.
been done
right.
yeah.
specifically to just, you know, to falsify this particular data set, and it's been fairly well proven false
right.
so far.
Well, a lot of them try to claim that, you know, if you look back at when certain vaccines started getting used more or were invented,
yeah,
like the MMR, that, you know, we see this huge increase in kids being diagnosed with autism, but they failed to look at the fact that we reclassified what autism
yeah.
was, and so therefore by reclassifying it and getting better information on what autism truly is, there was more people on the spectrum because we increased the spectrum, realizing, oh, wait a minute, we were missing this whole group of people before.
Yeah. Not only did the definition change and the spectrum was widened, but there's also there's a lot more testing that goes on. There's a lot more detection that goes on.
Right.
And so it's you know, correlation is not causation. It's as simple as that. It's an effect of, you know, a modernization and industrialization that we're catching a lot more stuff that we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're saying, well, no, it's clearly because we're also getting diseases, or, you know, we're also getting these other medicines. That's clearly what's causing it.
Right.
And
the thing that really upsets me about this is not the fact that they're putting people in danger, which I mean, that is very upsetting to me. But is I look at this and it reminds me a lot of how many religious organizations run their operations in third world countries where they claim to go over, we're going to do all this good stuff. We're going to build houses and hospitals and roads and schools. But the only way you have access to those things is by absorbing our brand of whatever, Christianity, whatever it may be. And the only way we're going to give it to you is if you become one of us. And it's you're holding out. And you're actually endangering that community, or you're forcing them to do something because they're undereducated and they don't have the resources to research and figure these things out because nobody's there. And if you look at this, you know, foreign community in the United States, that they really only have each other to rely on, which is pretty common, that they have been overrun by a group of lunatics that are telling them, no, this is dangerous. And when I'm in a room and all I have is everybody in the room to rely on, and everybody in the room tells me this is dangerous, what am I going to believe?
Right.
Exactly.
I have to believe it because I have nobody else to believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They would hold public meetings in the community here in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. And Wakefield was there,
mm-hmm.
Talking to the community about how dangerous the vaccines are and how they cause autism, and don't take the vaccine because autism. And they wouldn't let other like public health officials or reporters or people come into these meetings to give accurate information.
Yeah. At least at one of these meetings, there was an armed guard at the door that would not let anybody.
Who's supplying the armed guard?
Wakefield,
probably.
Assumedly.
And I mean that the fact that he was able to get that kind of attention, where he was able to control the dialogue like that,
mm-hmm.
that raises a lot of very significant questions about even the straight up legality of what he did there.
Right. Well, his response to that is that they chose to not take the vaccine, so therefore I'm not responsible. I just gave them information and then they made the decision. But when they only have one set of information, what choice do they really have?
Then if that's true, then why the armed guard?
Right.
It's the introduction of force that really changes the tenor of this conversation, which is something that I didn't know going into this.
Mm-hmm.
Is he found a population that he could control the messaging for,
mm-hmm.
And you can be certain that he didn't make a big deal out of the fact that he's no longer accredited physician.
Right. I'm sure that didn't come up.
Were they calling him Dr. Wakefield? And I bet they were.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm going to want to read up on this a little bit more too. Yeah. The armed guard thing is new. I didn't read about that.
Yeah.
Doing the initial research. This is the anti-vaxxer stuff. I feel like we should talk about it more. But unlike, you know, like you can say that asparagusmancy or mm-hmm. asparamancer or whatever can lead to destructive things because it's in the same ballpark as Sylvia Brown, who charged $700 a second
mm-hmm.
to help you find your lost kid, you know, how they take advantage of it. You can say, you can make a correlation there that you can say that kind of daffy magic stuff has a harm to it. You can mm-hmm. you can say that, but you have to widen the field a little bit. You have to actually make the logical connections.
Right.
That people who do this might be, you know, who don't look at this stuff skeptically are more likely to be preyed upon by people who aren't as nice as, you know, this really nice lady wearing an asparagus crown. You don't have to do any of that stretching for the anti-vax movement.
No.
Andrew Wakefield is responsible for the death of children in this state, in Washington state.
Yes. Yep.
He is responsible. Those deaths are his fault. Did he actually kill them? Did he murder them? No, but his perseverance in bad science has created, combined with the lax laws of Washington state,
mm-hmm.
has, and then you add to it just the general hatred of science,
right,
that we're, that we see, especially in this neck of the woods, which is weird, because the entire, the fact that the Pacific Northwest is a place to be at all is predated entirely on science and technology. This equals dead kids. Anti-vaxxers equal dead kids.
Right. Yeah. Is there is holding him responsible, or people like him responsible, any different than holding two religious parents that allow their kid to die because they won't take him to a hospital? Is it any different?
No, it's in the same ballpark.
I think it's exactly the same thing almost. Yeah. I mean, he might not have been there to actually take them to the hospital, but he's the reason why that they didn't receive that vaccine.
It's the lack of care.
Correct.
He is the direct reason for them not receiving care.
Yeah. I mean, in the case
they need,
like here in Washington State, you know, he writes something and it becomes secret underground information that gets shared on YouTube channels because, you know, InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody here picks up on it and they don't vaccinate their kids. He's supplying his view, which he's allowed to do because freedom.
First Amendment.
Right. At least in the United States. And then, so that, the culpability there, there is, I'd say there is some, but he's not, it's not his, you know, it's not his doing. They didn't have to read it. They didn't have to believe him. When he's having armed guards at community meetings with an immigrant group in Minneapolis, where he's trying to control their access to information, that's legal culpability right there, I would say. There's got to be a case. It just seems when you do that to a community, isn't that basically practicing medicine at this point?
It's toeing the line. Very close.
I'm sure he may be wrong, but he's not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he looked at that angle, so I bet he's got to get out. But
right.
That's a shame. Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say one last thing on this. We talked about this a couple months ago on the show about New Zealand, I think it was.
Yeah.
Who they barred anybody who had kids that were unvaccinated from receiving public funds for daycare, school, anything. You couldn't take your kids to school if they weren't vaccinated. And they did it under the guise of, you can't do this thing, but you legally required to do that thing. So that the way to fix this is not, I don't know if continuing to have the argument with people that believe this is going to fix it. I think the way to fix it is we need the government to step in and say, no, you are now endangering the public and other people. You no longer have the right to make that decision.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're making the decision for your children. They are not the ones making that conscious decision. You're telling your children, like, no, you are not getting this vaccination, and I'm going to risk your life because I know better.
Well,
it's disgusting to me.
I mean, they are getting medical care. Nobody's died yet. It's hard to see. Like, measles is just a thing you got that people would occasionally get when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize there was a chicken pox vaccine for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
You thought the chicken pox vaccine was go to your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the chicken pox.
But they, you know, after I got it, I got the chicken pox the 3 days before I went to, Disney World in third grade. It was
bad timing.
It was kind of miserable.
I imagine.
It was just a disease you got, and then you got your immunity and you were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have kids, and I wasn't really thinking about having kids. And so I didn't really pay attention to the fact that there was a chickenpox vaccine. And just one day I realized that nobody got chickenpox anymore.
Right.
What the heck? Yeah, nobody's getting measles anymore. And it's like, oh, science is great.
Fixed that problem.
Yeah. That doesn't happen. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And just within my lifetime, because I'm used to, like, my grandparents saying, oh, yeah, you know, polio and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, measles is not like polio, but it can be deadly. It can be very deadly.
Cause swelling of the brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to realize that just within my lifetime that had changed, that people are healthier just like that.
Right.
And then to turn around and take, like, people were talking about the eradication of measles.
Right. Well, in the United States, we had completely eradicated it.
We had.
It was gone. And now it's making a resurgence.
God, that's really the wrong music. I'd like to end on a high point, but I can't think of anything. This is Ask an Atheist. You can go to our website, askanatheist.tv. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Our Twitter is askanatheistwa. Our voicemail is 844-753-7842. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you, Sam, as always.
Thank you, Tyson.
Pleasure.
I'm going to look into this a little bit more, I think, this Minneapolis thing.
Yeah.
See you guys next week.